Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riedel 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Meine Damen und Herren.
Moin, servus, and a very warm welcome back to the German Football Podcast. I hope you've all enjoyed your summer. I know we have at GFP Towers. I'm your host, Bob Haggis, this week, and I'm joined by Roy Campbell, George Balakrishna, and I'll come first to Colin Moore. Colin, how are you doing? How's your summer been?
Very good, very good. I'm doing all right, although I'm sure you're about to explain the setup just now is a bit awkward for myself. Feels like I'm getting interviewed for a job. So I'm feeling a wee bit tense at the start of this podcast, if that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, we have George on my right in his luminous 90s Borussia Dortmund shirt, Roy in his Adidas Anthem jacket, HSV Anthem jacket, and I'm here in my purple polo shirt. So really... doing the full spectrum for the job interview. But yeah, George, how are you doing? How's your summer been?
Yes, Robert, greetings from about 6 inches away. The setup is a little bit strange, to say the least. Robert, Roy, and myself are currently packed in tightly, competing with an ambulance going by to be heard. But yeah, I'm kind of excited to see how this is all going to pan out. But no, glad that the podcast is back. It feels like we had a bit of an extended break, but I feel like we're all reset now, ready to talk about some football, German football, and yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I think the last time we had this set up was after the Rostock trip, so it's definitely been a while. And Roy, what about you? You've been enjoying your summer, you've been back in the homeland as well.
Yeah, no, can't complain with the summer, just getting away from the football for a bit, and now we're actually back. I mean, I've technically been back for 2 weeks now with the Zweitliga season starting earlier, but it's been nice to have a little bit of a break, to be honest. It's been nice, but it's good to have you both either side of me on this couch, you know, sitting on my couch quite close together. And Colin, it's also lovely to see you through the screen, just seeing the top half of your body and face for the first time. And what feels like a long time with your SV Meppen and your Stuttgart scarf in the background as well.
SV Empor Berlin.
SV Empor Berlin.
I saw SV M and just assumed it was Meppen, so I do apologise for that. But I'm alright. Like 2 minutes into the start, I've already fucked up. Bob, can take
I love away. That. Love how obscure that is, though. You see a blue and white scarf in the background, just assume it's Meppen.
To be fair, oh, and then there's an E and an M and a P, just not in that order. It looked like Meppen.
To be fair, it's quite refreshing in this part of the world when someone sees a blue and white scarf. Usually they would assume it was either Rangers or Killy, and I can speak to someone just now who assumes it's SV Meppen. I quite enjoy that. So that's
brightened
up my
summer. Yeah, my summer was actually quite nice. Thanks for asking. I was dutifully posting Alton 93 stickers all over the Balkans. So yeah, having a good time, having a break from football, which I very much enjoyed. I have to say, I haven't really watched much so far. I've been keeping up with it, but did a bit of research today because the main football season starts on Saturday with the DFB Pokal first round.
Friday.
on Friday. So obviously I haven't been doing my research that tightly. I'll come to you first, George. Mm-hmm. As on Friday night we have the Topspiel, which is 1860 against Borussia Dortmund. Obviously your loyalties are a bit torn there with your Dortmund shirt on now. But do you feel there's a bit of a chance of an upset?
Yeah, it didn't actually occur to me until just now that I probably shouldn't have worn this Dortmund top, given that my beloved 1860 are taking on BVB on Friday night. But I don't know, it's got obvious similarities to the evening game that we had last year where we beat Schalke. That was obviously in the second round, having beaten Darmstadt the round before. But I think, you know, it was a typically 1860s style game on the weekend, being, you know, the game finishing 4-3, having had the game completely in control, and then a wild sort of 20-30 minutes toward the end. But we'll have to see it out. Dortmund have actually been had a pretty poor preseason. The last two games conceded 5 goals. They've obviously got the unfortunate absence of Sebastian Haller means that they're going to be looking for, maybe trying out a few things still in their attack. I can't say that they'll be coming up against the most sort of reliable defense in 1860s, but I think it's really nice that, you know, to have 15,000 full house. It was sold out within minutes to the remaining sort of 3,000 that weren't the season tickets. And who knows? There has to be a few cup sets across the board, and there's no real reason why it can't be us. I doubt it, but I think that's kind of the beauty of it, is that there's no one's really going in there with much expectation. The club at 1860 is kind of long yearned for you know, big nights against bigger clubs since our plight. So yeah, it'd be good to take on a massive club like Dortmund at home, and undoubtedly be a good experience for all the players, and hopefully whatever the result we can sort of take into our league form as well. So I'm excited for sure. Unfortunately can't be there, unlike last year, but I guess we'll just have to get through to the next round so I can be there.
Yeah, nice one. Well, something we'll come on to later, but George had a bit of extra insight on Borussia Dortmund as part of the Bundesliga away day, so maybe he's been able to tell with their lack of hitting the crossbar and the crossbar challenge that maybe they're a bit undercooked for the new season. Colin, where do you see a possible cup set happening on the weekend?
I'm glad you came to me first, because I'm so afraid that this idea is going to get stolen. Because it's a wee bit of an obvious one, because it's happened very recently. Braunschweig against Hertha. See, may have stolen Roy's idea. Eintracht beat Hertha only 2 years ago in the first round, 5-4. That was a thrilling game. I remember watching that. And it wouldn't be a surprise to me at all if it happened again. Hertha really escaped by the skin of their teeth the end of last season, as Roy well knows, in the relegation playoff. Since then, the squad hasn't really been strengthened. I would say at this point, it looks very weak. I mean, there's still time before the league season starts to make extra changes in the transfer market. But at this stage, it's almost as if this game's come a bit early for them. You know, it's quite unclear who'll play in the goalkeeper position for them. You know, Schwolo has gone to Schalke, Lotka's away to Dortmund. So it's either going to be Christensen, who was signed last season, hasn't really played, or Jahrstein, who I don't think has even played a competitive game for, must be about a couple of years now. Had COVID, really struggled with that, so there's a lot of uncertainty with that. Then they look quite short numbers in midfield, even up front. They've got returning players like Piontek and Lukabakio, who've come back from loans, who didn't really fit in the first place, didn't really fit well into the squad, didn't create too many positive headlines during the loan. I mean, I didn't really see much of Serie A when Piontek was playing, but I know Lukabakio didn't really have any effect at Wolfsburg last season. So it's not really a welcome addition back to the team at Hertha. And then they've got other attacking options quite reliant on Jovetic, Zelka, who I remember Hertha only scraped through the first round last year against their favourite club, Meppen. David Zelka getting a late winner. So they've got form in recent years for struggling at this point in the cup, and it wouldn't surprise me if that happened again. Just mentioning pre-season, like Dortmund have been pretty poor. Hertha had a pretty disastrous tour in England. If you kept an eye on their results, lost to Derby, lost to Nottingham Forest, lost to West Brom. Derby are now a third-tier team, West Brom Championship side. Doesn't make great reading. I mean, you don't really want to read too much into it, but just on the squad and paper and the recent results in friendlies, it doesn't really bode too well for them. I know I saw that they had another game as well. I think it was one of these weird pre-season friendlies where they played one half against one team and one half against the other. So they played Halifax in a first half and lost 1-0 to them, Halifax Town, and a second half against Salford, who they drew one each with. So that, I mean, to have all those games against English teams, the vast majority of which non-league, and not to win any of them is pretty concerning. I've not really mentioned Braunschweig so far. I mean,
falling against Hertha.
This prediction is definitely more based on Hertha's failings rather than any strength. I see from Braunschweig, who had a pretty poor start to the season, losing to Hamburg. I mean, who does that? Yeah. And getting comfortably beaten by Heidenheim as well, 3-0. It could be a welcome distraction for them. You know, they'll take confidence that they've done it before to Hertha. And just like previous years with the Pokal, as the advantage to the home league, the home team they've got that home advantage and they're a bit more in the swing of the actual season, whereas the Bundesliga sides haven't played a competitive game yet, so might be a bit rusty. So for those reasons, I think that's a good chance for an upset.
That's a very comprehensive answer. Thanks very much. I think I saw that Piontek also failed to score in their whole trip to England. So, but maybe that just shows the strength of the National League in England. I don't know, with Halifax managed to beat them. I'll come to you, Roy, as you're furiously swiping through the Kicker app looking for a possible cup set. What's sticking out to you?
No, I'm just keeping this as my notes. Just I got the guys at Kicker to write them for me a long time ago. I wanted to say the Braunschweig one, but I think Colin covered it for everyone. We don't need to speak about that again. But I think the one of the main ties for me is definitely... But
I'm very excited to see what's going to come out of
your mouth. No, I think Magdeburg against Frankfurt, but a really interesting one, considering Magdeburg's very interesting start to the season, being, was it 3-1 up at one point? Against Karlsruhe, or 3-0 up. It was very early on. There were a couple of goals ahead at least, and that came as a bit of a shock at the time, even though Karlsruhe had been not been so good for the first opening two games. But I think that'd be quite interesting to see how Magdeburg got on against Frankfurt, who look a bit of a rejuvenated side as well after their Europa League winning prowess. But I just read the word progress and I don't think it used to, right? But we're going to keep going. And Cottbus Bremen, I think it's all going to happen on the Monday. Cottbus against Bremen could be a really interesting one. And Chemnitz against Union are my two. I think Monday's going to be a great. I think Monday's going to be a very great day for the. And I'm also going to put my other two big. I haven't done this for a while. I forgot how to speak. My other two big tips. I had a big thing in the chat as a joke about SV Stralen, but I actually think they will beat Stralen, and I do think they will beat Pauli. Fun fact, they've got Dutch twins who are 20, you know, they could probably score, and HSV will get beat by Bayreuth, mostly because I'm going to the game on Saturday, but I think that's definitely going to happen. Plus, I don't want to say every game, but Regensburg against Köln.
What about a shout? What about TSG Neustrelitz, our friends from Mecklenburg for Pommern against Karlsruhe.
That's one I have on my list as well. So thanks very much to Roy for going through pretty much the whole picture list there.
Are you going to ask me?
I thought I went to you already with 18. Well, I can. Okay, I thought I'd already gone to you with 1860 Dortmund.
Well, no, I wouldn't want to put that much pressure on them. You know, what I mean, I know they're all quite avid listeners. So, like I said, in that game, it's more. I'm happy for them to. You'd be playing on a Friday night in front of all our fans, and we'll see what happens. My tip was actually going to be who showed me the picture? So if I've not looked at it, it's actually Elversberg to beat by Leverkusen, mainly because Elversberg caught the eyes of the hipster football world on the weekend, beating Rot-Weiß Essen 5-1 away from home. On the weekend, Elversberg have not been in the Dritte Liga since 2013. And they've, if you kind of a quick look at the preseason, you'll see that they played Freiburg and Borussia Mönchengladbach. I believe they lost 1-0 Freiburg and drew Gladbach, or some variation of that. So they certainly put on a decent account of themselves against obviously much better opposition. They came into the league originally, well, at the time of their promotion, were lacking a lot of Drita Liga experience, but they've since strengthened. That seems to be their main tactic in the transfer market, is to add players with a lot of Drita Liga and even Spice Liga experience, likes of Jakobsen and Correa and a few others who I can't quite remember off the top of my head because they've got two clowns looking at me to my left. But I think, you know, that could be useful. You know, the beauty of the DFB Pokal, as you always say, is that the lower ranked teams are always at home. We'll see how Leverkusen travel to Elversberg, known as the Elf. And yes, I think that's not beyond the realms of possibility. Obviously, it's like one of those things, you know, at uni or school, where when you are one of the last people to be asked, people do take the better answers. But especially because Roy chose five, I do think Magdeburg, Frankfurt is probably a decent shout. Aren't Kaiserslautern playing?
Freiburg. Yeah,
I think Kaiserslautern Freiburg could be quite interesting as well. But yeah, my tip is Elversberg.
Well, can you be quiet, please, Colin? It's my turn now. I've got two picks myself. Thinking of VfB Lübeck against Hansa on the Saturday as well. I remember in 2019, VfB Lübeck pushed St. Pauli very close and eventually lost on penalties. And my other tip of the newly renovated Ernst Abbe Sportfeld would be Karlsruhe Jena against Wolfsburg. I feel that could be a possibility for a cup upset with the vociferous support of the Jena ultras, who have also just moved around part of the stadium to put the Stimmungsblock somewhere else in the stadium. So I feel that could be possible cup set as well. So I feel like we've pretty much covered all the bases there. So hopefully one of those predictions will be right. I'll come to you first, Colin. Maybe just a relatively quick fire answer here. Who are your favourites for the cup this season?
I mean, well, favourites probably Bayern is every year, but in terms of who I think will win, I'm going to go for Leipzig to win again. They've improved under Tedesco. They do have a really strong record in the Pokal, even though they only just won it last year. And they've been to three of the last four finals, so that they do have a record of getting to the latter stages. And I think they've got through the mental block now. I mean, they hadn't won a competitive trophy until May when they won the cup. And now they've got through that there won't be much stopping them, nothing to hold them back. So I think by getting to that mental barrier, that will help them. So I'm going to go for Leipzig. That's a concise answer for you.
George?
Yeah, as you posed that question, I was also thinking of Leipzig. I don't think they've got any weaker since their cup win. And Colin makes a good point that, you know, they're still broken their barrier now of, you know, reaching that sort of upper echelon of club that's regularly competing for titles. And like I believe we've said before, they don't play under certain pressure and expectation from the fans that other clubs sort of have to deal with, which is, you know, sort of what a club like Borussia Dortmund, for example, has to deal with and has often plighted them in the past. So I would have said Leipzig, but for the purpose of this being slightly more interesting, I was actually going to say Bayer Leverkusen, but I just remembered I said they're going to lose. I don't want to say Dortmund because then that'll mean that they're definitely going to be 1860, and I don't want to say Bayern.
You're running out of teams here. Is it more just become which team is less relevant right now that you choose, or which team you actually
think? I don't want to choose any of those three. I want to go for more outside one, which is Ellen to say, then Leverkusen's out of the picture, Freiburg's out of the picture, I'd say.
Just going to call the ball.
I don't think Frankfurt will be able to. I think Frankfurt will suffer significantly out of the issues of having the games they'll play this year with the Champions League and all, and potentially higher expectation. So to answer your question, Robert, I think that Union are finally going to be able to do it this year. It would have been, I think everyone was kind of hoping that they'd be able to at least make the final last year. I think that they have gone a little bit under the radar. Some of them have made some pretty astute signings this summer, actually. I certainly think they've strengthened. And sort of their upward progression has been going the right way. So I think, yeah, my tip to win the Pokal is Elste FC Union Berlin.
That's a very, very, very comprehensive answer you got there. Roy, apart from SV Strelen, who readers of Hamfia will obviously know inside out after a recent article about them, who's your tip?
Well, you just can't look past 1,000, can you? Like, you're always, they're always just enough. I don't know, the judges just wrote all the teams off, to be fair. I don't really know if there's any left I'm allowed to choose. I was going to say Dortmund, though, because I just think that they've got a bit. If, depends when Haller can come back. But they also read today that they were looking at Modest, which could be quite interesting. I just think there's a couple of the signings I've made. It just kind of might work for them. They're going to be, I think they have to be successful somehow this season, and I think the Pokal could be that for them. And also, I don't think they're going to be that great this year, but something under Kovac at Wolfsburg makes me think they might go on a nice wee cup run under Kovac, because, I mean, the last time he was in it, apart from Bayern, he won it, so, with Frankfurt, so that's my only logic to that. But yeah. I think, but Dortmund, for me, I think, have to maybe not win something, but I think they have to be successful in some sort of way this season, and I think the Pokal will probably be that.
Well, we've heard already that the Wolves are going to go down in the Ernst Abbe Sportfeld on Saturday. So
well, that's by your opinion.
And I'm going to. I'm not sure that the Elves will manage to beat Bayer Leverkusen. My tip for the DFB Pokal season is Bayer Leverkusen. Yes, that rounds up our short preview of the DFB.
Why? Do you want to qualify your answer?
No, it's just one of those feelings that you can't quantify. I think they've managed to keep a lot of their players this summer compared to previous summers. Got a very strong attacking unit, and they're in the Europa League. Sorry, that's a good start.
Champions League.
Okay, that kind of ruins part of my reasoning. So. Leverkusen in Champions League.
No, wait, they're not, are they?
Leverkusen.
Yeah, they got fourth, didn't they? Because Frankfurt only got in it because they won the Europa League, so there's five.
Yeah, as you can see, I've been keeping up a lot with the Bundesliga. But yeah, as part of our sort of pre-season preview and to pad a bit of time on the podcast, I thought we'd also go for favorite kit. I have to say, just introducing this section, having looked at all of the kits from the Erste Bundesliga, Zweite Bundesliga, and Dritte Liga before the podcast, I have to say, despite the big demand for classic football shirts recently, it's pretty slim pickings at the moment. I was very disappointed with a lot of the kits that I saw. The Nike template this year particularly seems to be pretty disappointing. But Colin, is there one that stuck out for you?
You might already know this because I've already sent it into the group chat when it was released, and I know this will be a controversial one. I will go for the Stuttgart away, which I really like. I would like to buy that. But it's red and black hoops based on the Adidas kit that they had from 1997 to 1999, the away from them. So I really like it. I know you just don't really like a collar, but I do quite like the white collar on it. And it's based on one of my favourite German kits in a classic era, but one of the standout kits, I'd say, from the 90s. So I enjoy the fact that it's modelled on that.
Yeah, a white collar kit for a white collar man. And I have to say though, in your defence, they are the best Yakko kits that I've seen from Stuttgart so far. After some,
I meant to say that as well. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of them as a manufacturer. I suppose it's quite hit and miss. I'm not a huge fan of the shoulder design, the sort of circles, but they've pulled out of the bag for this one, say, despite stealing another manufacturer's design, I suppose.
Yeah, and apart from the Ewan McVicar St Mirren away day special, Roy, which other one has put your eye before the start of the season?
I think there's not been many that stand out, actually, like you said. I think I feel like I'm probably going to steal someone's, one of you two here, but the Mizuno efforts from Bochum's Mizuno efforts were actually quite nice, but I'm not going to talk about it too much because George got an exclusive when he actually saw it in person. But I think the
collar, or is that because you can see that I'm looking at?
Don't even see that. I would say Gladbach's kit is nice, but if the green and black stripe was over the badge on the left hand side, it'd make it better.
I'm gonna stop you there. Can you just choose one, please? Let's not go through all of them.
I was just gonna say one more.
Okay.
So that the Gladbach home shirt, and I'd really like the Hasfal kit this year, the home kit. And by the time this comes out, the new away kit will be dropped. But I'd say the home kit was very nice.
George, as a fashion connoisseur yourself, which ones tickled your pickle?
Well, as a fashion connoisseur and having the same choice as Roy, I'm not sure what kind of connoisseur that makes me. But
bad one.
But yeah, like no surprises. As Roy did glimpse over my shoulder to see I was looking at the three Bochum kits, which in all honesty hadn't really caught my eye at the launch or anything, mainly because I don't have as much enthusiasm for kits as some other of my podcast co-hosts. But quite funny, when I was at Bochum in the stadium, the club actually made all the players sign 600 different kits of the new kit, which took up the whole VIP lounge at the Kastropostasa, which gave me a very clear view of what they looked like, let me tell you that, which included the home kit, the away kit, and the third kit, all of which I think are pretty belting. But I think between the second kit, or sorry, the away kit, which is a sort of a light blue with a dark blue trim and collar, and then the outside clico, which is a sort of a beigey cream, I would say. I think as the Mizuno, you know, very nice Japanese style. Big fan of that. So I think if I had to pick one, I'd pick the light blue Bochum away kit. Probably be worn more often, of course. So yeah, that's my answer.
The sexy kit's quite disappointing this year, isn't it? I know you don't ask that question, but.
Firstly, it's nice to see a retro kit manufacturer back on the market. Actually, one of the ones I noted down was the 1860 home kit, which was on display on Saturday against Dresden. Big fan of that. There's a fine line between simplicity and being boring, but I thought it was a nice simple design. But the one I've gone for, maybe a bit out there as well, is the Karlsruhe away shirt, which is actually based on their Adidas number, sponsored by Eichmann in the 1996-97 season. A relatively famous design where it's sort of a white base with three blue stripes that sort of fade away as they go further down the shirt. Very nice. And that's...
Look beautiful as they get pumped 5-0 by Paderborn.
Exactly. Look good, play bad. That's my motto.
If I can add another quick shout, enjoy.
No, you've only got another.
Nuremberg home.
As the final section of the podcast, we're talking about George's trips to the Bundesliga media days. Thought we'd focus on it as it's quite a cool thing that he managed to do recently. So, George, for those of you who haven't been listening to the podcast or don't follow me on Twitter, well, just update the people on what you do for your job and how it all came about.
How I got the job, do you mean?
What your job entails and how you got to the media days.
Okay, yeah. So outside of the podcast, which obviously pays the vast majority of my bills, is I'm the digital content editor with DFL Digital Sports, which is the it basically means the Bundesliga. It's the media rights solely responsible for the Bundesliga, basically, in any sort of media, in any sort of media sense, I guess. So part of that, well, normally sort of the other 11 months of the year, that entails working in all the social media departments, running the Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and eventually YouTube and TikTok of the Bundesliga. So anything you see posted on the official channels from there will more likely have something to do with me. Not sure if that's a good thing or not. But part of that entails for pretty much the whole month of July being on the road on the Bundesliga media days, which means having the pleasure of being able to go to all the Bundesliga clubs and do all the sort of media obligations that the players need to do. So typically there will be about probably about eight stations, I think it is, that the players have to do in total. One of them will be just the team photo that you see. And then you've got, they'll have different obligations they have with the broadcasters, they're the photo taken, different video stuff, the kind of stuff you see on Sky Sports, all more or less gets done on the one day. And then one of the stations will be with us in the social team, which is where we try and make as much sort of interesting, shareable, likable content as possible with the players, which entails sort of different challenges, different interviews, things that we can use throughout the course of the season. And like I said, that more or less gets done on the one day that we're there in the club. So it's a real pleasure, to be honest, to, you know, be there working with players that I've spent the last few years, you know, writing about and sort of covering, you know, in my career, but also, you know, as a hobby. So it's slightly surreal in some sense, but it's been a very, very much a fun month, for which I feel very grateful for, to be honest. But yeah, there's a lot goes into it that is probably people don't see. Yeah. It's a lot of hard work, but at the end of the day, I couldn't really ask to be doing anything better. So yeah, it's been a very, very fun month, which has just come to an end. Well, the month hasn't, but the media days have come to an end as of yesterday, VfL Wolfsburg. I should say there is actually the Zweite Bundesliga media days, which we are not in attendance for. There's also the virtual Bundesliga media days coming up. But yeah, so all the Bundesliga clubs have now been visited by the DFL, who are my employers. And yeah, it's been a very enjoyable month.
And as you mentioned, there's quite a lot of players that you idolise throughout these media days. Do you feel quite nervous before you're meeting them, or not really?
So it's strange. Obviously, I thought that I would feel more nervous, but honestly, I think you come to realize very, very quickly that they are very normal, and the station that we're at, they have a lot of fun at. They're very happy to be there, to be honest. It's quite easy to develop a sort of rapport with the players. In some sense, it is like it's a little bit surreal at times. I think like the only, probably at Borussia Dortmund, with spending a lot of time that day with Jude Bellingham, was quite surreal. But I think on that day it was more the likes of being like up and like in and around the likes of Mats Hummels and Marco Reus, who are players that I've obviously been aware of and as like stars of German football for the past sort of 10 years or so. And then you sort of realize that they're actually quite regular people. Mats Hummels unfortunately rejected an offer from myself to come to Chelsea. He said that he thought that it was probably past his ability at this point in time. I wish I did reassure him that wasn't the case. But I'm not really nervous, really. It's really just very exciting, very, very, like I said, it's a lot of fun with the players. And luckily, what I do with them, the players actually enjoy it quite a lot. So they're usually, they're very happy to be there. and they're all in sort of 98% of, so in like 98% of the cases, they're very, very polite and a pleasure to be around, really. I shan't name who the which players might count in that 2%.
Not my question.
But yeah, no, in general, just an unbelievable experience. And it's kind of got me really ready to start for the Bundesliga season start now. It's like the whole month was kind of a long process in sort of, yeah, building up to the start of the season, which I guess officially starts on Saturday of the Super Cup. So yeah, now I feel, and you know, with the first recording of the podcast this season, I feel like I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I had one experience of a media day whilst I was at Haasfeld, and honestly, I didn't particularly enjoy it, also because the players felt like they didn't actually want to be there as much. But I guess it's, we didn't really have the social area like you did. It was a lot more sort of say these words and take the pictures and team photo and that kind of thing. So that's interesting. Colin, I think you have a question.
Yeah, just you've been talking to us about this for the past few weeks, obviously mentioned interaction with the players. I was wondering if you had any interactions with like coaches at any of the clubs, or were they not present?
Yeah, so that's actually a very good question, Colin. We get a list at the start of the day, which will say that which players and which members of the coaching staff are at which stations. But unfortunately, it's the head coach will do all of the photo and video stuff, and the sort of the backup staff, the sort of assistants and analysts, etc., will just have their photo taken. But they are not to be, they're not involved in any of the stuff that we do. Potentially sort of understandably, I think that in the course of time, that will probably change, to be honest. But it's not, I mean, what we do is not, doesn't really give way to what sort of coaches, quite serious coaches, are going to want to be doing. So unfortunately, I see the sort of the managers walking around and stuff, but they're probably the only people in the whole club. Yeah, I'm not talking about the players, but it's always good to talk to sort of the media people at the respective clubs, sort of different fan representatives. They're always good to talk to, but the only people I don't really have any proper contact with is the coaches, unfortunately. Other than just sort of seeing them walk around, often looking fairly, fairly uninterested. Yeah, which is a shame, because there was a few this year that I would really like to have, had a chat with, but that's not the case at the moment.
Yeah, I reckon Niko Kovac will absolutely smash the crossbar challenge. Go on, Roy.
This is something we've actually spoken about privately, but I thought it'd be quite interesting for you to talk on the podcast as well about is, how did you find that with the, you know, the kind of English speaking players adapt to the environment? So like you obviously with a lot of the Americans and the English players, how did you find when you saw them in their circles with the players? Did you think that they got on well with all the Germans? Did they join cliques where it's just English speaking players? Could you see that environment? Did you see any vibes coming from them that they were like distant, or they were always quite close to each other?
Now, in my experience, I think that all of the sort of English mother tongue speakers are very well integrated in within the teams, and that and the players and the coaching staff especially to go out of their way to make sure that they're well integrated. I think what helps with that is that English is pretty much so. For example, I know even at a club like Bochum, which you'd expect would, you know, as one of the small clubs in the Bundesliga, might not have a sort of English provision within the club. It was explained to me that Thomas Kreis will explain everything in German in training, and then he'll explain everything in English. Not just for like the English and American players, but obviously there's a lot of like Scandinavian players, etc., where it's a lot easier for them to understand English than German. They're still learning. And I do believe that is more so the case more or less the case with almost every club. I know that there are certain clubs where German is more forced upon the players. RB Leipzig, surprisingly, is one of those clubs. But from what I saw on the days I was there, I mean, I spent some time with Joe Scally, who was obviously an American from New York, who seemed to be very close with Florian Neuhaus. He was brought to his greatness at 1860, of course. And I saw quite a few examples of that, of like not really being any issue of all the players being well integrated, which is good to see. And like especially at Dortmund, like a player like Jamie Bynoe-Gittens, who's obviously made 4 Bundesliga appearances now. He's obviously come from the under-19s, who won the German championship last year against Hertha. So he's already had experience in, you know, a lot of his friends will be from the under-19s who are now with the first team, who are almost exclusively German players. Almost exclusively German players. To answer your question, I do believe that they are well integrated, especially because I think it's more worthwhile for them for themselves and for the club if there's an effort to make them feel at home, which I think they do a good job of doing.
And any particular highlights to pick out, or any particular players that surprised you?
I did think you were going to ask this question. I was trying to think. Like I said, at all clubs there was. I mean, if I. Probably one of my, so at Union, my favourite player was probably Schroude Becker. He was just great fun, was really keen to just chat, to do whatever. Really, really funny guy. Christopher Trimmel as well at Union was funny. And then I had the pleasure of being able to spend quite a lot of time with Marco Richter before the Hertha Media Day. And we sort of since kept in touch, was very nice. So he's probably, as a person, he's probably the one that I felt that I connected with the most. That does sound sort of like a line from Love Island. Marco Richter for sure. Even like people like Davy Selke at Hertha was pretty funny. I'm actually very sad that Sassi Barr has now left Hertha because he was, he told me a funny story, which I have told Roy, that. He's got a tattoo of Maradona on his leg, and I was talking to him about Maradona. He's obviously Argentinian, and I was saying, well, yeah, maybe you should get Messi tattooed on your other leg. And he was like, nah, probably a bit weird considering we're like similar generation. And I was like, oh, do you know Messi at all? And he was like, well, the thing is, I spent 1 year in the Argentinian national team. It was the year that Messi stopped playing for Argentina, so he's never played with him. Probably the funniest person that I met, actually, surprisingly, was Christian Gamboa of Celtic fame at VfL Bochum. He's only been there like 2-3 years, and he speaks like really, really good German, which is very impressive, of course. Obviously, Jude Bellingham and Jamie Bynoe-Gittens were great as. Borussia Dortmund have a young striker called Bradley Fink. He's a half Swiss, half English, who I spent a lot of time with, and I hope that he manages to make big way into the first team this year, establish a role. Joe Scally at Gladbach, I'd say was probably a very kind of surprised me that he was so nice. Not really sure why, what I expected, but
that's not going to be great to fight.
He was a tremendous guy. And then at Wolfsburg, the Metro brothers were pretty funny. But I think my overall take from the media days is that I've got a little thing for all the French players in the Bundesliga. For example, yesterday with Roussillon, especially, it was a hilarious guy, and generally. All the French players that you'll meet at these media days will always, especially if you get any French players together, they are just like the funniest guys. So, Alassane Player at Gladbach, for example, was also very funny. Off the top of my head, I can't think of Nkunku, obviously he was, and Simicom was probably one of the, Simicom was maybe my highlight of the whole thing. He was just, he was, we had a shared sort of a mutual love for the city of Marseille, which is where he's from. So yeah, we had a lot to talk about. So yeah, but yeah, French guys will always give you good content, is what I've learned from this past month.
Wow, that's a very interesting take. That's something I wasn't expecting at the beginning of this podcast. But yeah, well, thank you very much for a small insight. So look forward to the listeners can look forward to hearing interviews with Lucas Nemecha and Max Kruse in the coming weeks. So hope you enjoy that. And thanks very much for joining us. We're hoping to do a Bundesliga preview sometime next week. So look forward to that as well. Thank you for joining us. And servus, auf Wiedersehen. Tschüss.
Toi, toi.